Thank you for joining us for Mental Health Let's Talk About It. I am your host, Charlene Pickram, the owner of Pick Empowerment, and you're tuned into CIOE 97.5 Community Radio. And I have two guests in the studio with us this evening from the Strongest Families Institute. We have Dr. Patricia Lingley Potty, who is the president and CEO, and she is a multitasker, as she's also the scientist at the IWK Health Center and an assistant professor at Dal University. And she has one of her team members with her, Katie Levine, who is the vice president of operations. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
So, Strongest Families Institute, Dr. Patricia, what's the story behind the Strongest Families Institute? When did it start? Why is it needed?
So I joined Dr. Patrick McGraw about 18 years ago at the inception of the Strongest Families Institute. At that time, we were called Family Help, and we changed our name thereafter. And the government, and I guess there's certainly a long history of difficulties accessing services, long wait lists. So the Canadian Institutes of Health Research actually put out a call in about 2000. Dr. McGraw received a $1.9 million grant to design a new system of care that would bridge the access gap. So we worked tirelessly in the very beginning stages to do a needs assessment on the system. We wanted to design a system that was going to bridge the access gap, that was going to be cost effective, that was delivered at times convenient to the family, and really change the way in which services are delivered. But to fill the gap that's missing, where you have children and youth with mild and moderate mental health problems who are on a wait list. We know that if mental health conditions are caught at an early stage and evidence-based care is delivered and those families complete a full intervention program, there's an increased likelihood that the mental health condition will be resolved at that time, but also with lasting effects. So we were really keen on designing a care, a surface level of care that in the system that would remove barriers to care.
Yes. Yeah. So what I really get from, you know, what you're saying and your website is it's evidence-based.
Completely. We ran trials. So in those very early days, we developed I'm just trying to think of all the programs. So we have a program for behavior challenges, so for 3 to 12-year-olds. We have an anxiety program, so different types of anxiety, separation anxiety, test performance anxiety type of situations, specific phobias, that type of thing, and generalized anxiety. And that spans the ages of 6 to 17. And we also developed a bedtime wedding, wedding program for 5 to 12-year-olds. And at the same time, we did have a recurrent headache and abdominal pain program that we developed. When we were developing this, we wanted to make sure that we had very easy to understand materials.
Yes.
So handbooks for the child and the youth, handbooks for the parents. But we also wanted to tap into all the senses of learning. So we developed different types of media, skill demonstration media. So we had videos and audios. And we also had to develop this entire system where we had a non-professional or what we call paraprofessional coach who's highly trained, who follows our coaching protocols that match those skills in the materials. And every week, the coach will work with the parents. So we were developing all of these components of this evidence-based intervention, but also our policies and procedures. And we developed a very sophisticated piece of software because we wanted to make sure we were leveraging the advantages of technology. So we have she's called Iris. We love her. She's just beautiful. And she's a really sophisticated staff interface that houses all of our protocols, but it also will house the user, the client materials. If a family prefers to access our programs online, they have access to that. But okay. We're in the far reaches of Labrador and remote areas. So in a lot of those areas, we still don't have reliable high-speed internet. Mm. Families can still have the traditional handbook, DVDs and you know, those types of materials to help complement the coaching component of that.
Yeah. So, and that's what I was wondering about, because I have family that, you know, are in very rural areas where the high speed internet is not what it needs to be if you're going to be, you know, trying to Skype or anything to do coaching. So, you know, everybody pretty well has a phone.
That's right.
And so you guys will send out the booklets to the individuals and kind of go over the process and find out what is the best time for them. So it's very much family or patient centered.
It is absolutely patient centered. It's all about the family.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So Katie, what is your role?
So my role has changed over the years. I've been with Trish and Strongest Families since 2009, so going on 9.5 years.
Good for you.
Yes, and it's such a rewarding organization to work for. I can't imagine not being a part of this. Yeah. So I actually started as a coach shortly out of university. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I think I was one of 5 coaches. And, you know, we've got our staff is just growing exponentially now. And so I've gone from being a coach to learning how to deliver all of the different modules and programs that we offer. Wow. And then as we continued to hire more coaches, I kind of started fitting into this mold of supporting new coaches. Mm-hmm. And became coach supervisor, and our organization continued to grow, became director of operations, and then more recently VP of operations. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been a great 9.5 years, and I'm just very, very happy to be a part of this organization. Mm. We're helping so many families.
It's a great time to join, because you actually are part of that development and ownership of, and there's growth.
Yes. So an amazing career opportunity sort of presented itself for me and many others who have started to work for Strongest Families Institute. We have so many staff that started as coaches and as a result and as we've grown, have moved into leadership roles and, you know, just being able to support families and then also supporting staff. It's
so essential to be a part of an organization that celebrates their team and provides that care and nurture so that they can provide the best care for the individuals. It's essential. Mm-hmm. And so many organizations still have either not seen how important it is or it's the money aspect, the time and money.
Well, you know, we always just see it as we're supporting our families. Why would we not do the same for staff? And also, you know, we are dealing with some challenging situations with families, and it's not always easy at the end of your shift to go home and let everything go. And so if we're not supporting our staff, then families aren't getting the best of them either.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And values and beliefs of the organization.
Absolutely.
If you're not practicing it yourself, then you're kind of a hypocrite.
Yeah. We certainly aren't that. Yeah.
No. So, you know, that's great. It's part of the role modeling as well that you do. Mm-hmm. So in regards to your programs, what has changed over the years? Because if it's evidence-based and it's based on what is the need currently right now, within our population, because you guys are across Canada, correct? Mm-hmm. And you have bilingual coaches. Mm-hmm. So what is coming up right now, or what has changed in the years since you've opened up?
I think one of the challenges that's been very exciting for us is our scalability. We have amazing, dedicated, very capable staff. They're not health professionals, so we don't employ people who have a license because there's a scarcity of professionals and we're teaching skills. Mm-hmm. So there's a large demand really coming out of university and, you know, finding a job in Nova Scotia. You know, we're supplying that opportunity for a career and a very good opportunity for advancement in our organization. So for our scalability, it's very easy for us to ramp up and reduce a wait list quickly. So I'm going to give you an example. In Nova Scotia, when the provincial government kindly announced provincial funding back in, I believe it was 2012, when the Institute was first established as a not-for-profit in 2011-12. And there were about 400 kids on a wait list here in Nova Scotia. And we ramped up and, you know, within 3.5 months, we had all 400 children in coaches' services. And we've similarly replicated that in Newfoundland a couple of years ago.
That's amazing.
So we have these really refined processes. And, again, my staff are extremely efficient. Our training processes are highly developed. And this works. We can ramp up very quickly. So when we started in 2012, we were helping about 700 Canadian families. This is our sixth year. We just finished our sixth year, and we reached 5,200.
Holy smokes. For you guys.
We went from about 16 staff to over 70 now.
Yeah. Wow. That is amazing. So, you know, Katie, you talked about supervising coaches as they come in. What is the process of the training?
For a new coach?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a great question. We have our own processes for that. So we have coaches start by coming in for a week or 2 weeks to learn what we do, learn our main processes and protocols, and learn a little bit about where we came from, the evidence behind the programs. Understand, you know, we don't want to put something in front of someone and just say this works. We want to show them the background. So a lot of our training is families are assigned to a coach and all calls are recorded. So supervisors will listen to a coach's calls. They are graded. We provide feedback on how to move forward with families. Mm-hmm. We also have coaches listen to previous calls by other coaches so they can hear how other coaches have dealt with certain situations.
Yeah, that's great.
And that's kind of pretty much the gist of the training, just really hands-on.
And so for an individual to apply, what are you looking for a foundation?
Excellent communication skills, the commitment to follow our protocols, right? Because we don't want people to be deviating from that. It's helping families learn skills that they're already reading about and watching in the videos.
Yeah.
So capable, dedicated individuals who have excellent interpersonal communication skills. So we do train our coaches also. One of the evidence-based skills that we know works really well is role-playing. So we do, you know, there's always a years ago there's always a skepticism, Trish, you know, how are you gonna get, you know, people to role-play, you know, but it works. We do it over the phone. You can stage a situation and it works. So, and the problem solving, I mean, these are skills, and we match the skills to the specific problems so it's customized to meet that family's needs. So whatever problems they're identifying that are challenging for them, the coaches will match the skills to those problems and see them to resolution. So we're very problem focused, but also mastering those skills to see those problems to resolution.
Excellent. So we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we'll continue learning about the Strongest Families Institute.